puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And now it's time for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Gordsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Now, remind me again of that clue.
A few weeks ago, we talked about the former Women's Pavilion here in Winnipeg, where scores of Manitobans were born. This week, we're looking at another type of pavilion, ones found in public parks, including one that's not too busy.
Park pavilions. So you mean the one in Assiniboine Park, my favorite park?
Yes, this is the oldest surviving park pavilion, but it's not the first one. That record is held by its predecessor, Winnipeg's first park pavilion built in Assiniboine Park in 1908. And by the way, it was intended for use only in the summertime. It wasn't a four-season facility.
Oh, wow. So what was that pavilion used for?
It was used as a dance hall, a banquet hall, and I think probably mostly for selling for refreshments to the various park visitors at the time. Unfortunately, although the building was architecturally impressive, it was designed by a very noted architect, John Acheson, the pavilion was poorly built, and it basically required annual infusions of cash to fix structural problems. By the early 1920s, the Winnipeg's Parks Board that had to pay all those bills was inclined to tear it down as a cost-saving measure, but that didn't happen.
Why not?
Because in May of 1929, the pavilion burned to the ground.
So the present pavilion is the rebuilt pavilion. Is there nothing of the original pavilion there anymore?
There is actually there. And if you go around the back of the pavilion, there is a pergola and a lily pond. And that is original. It was built in 1909, the year after the pavilion itself. The current pavilion, though, which was designed by architects George Northwood and Cyril Chivers, it features a very faux Tudor look, sort of English countryside look on its exterior. It did away with a water tower that had been a prominent feature of the original building, which is kind of ironic, eh? Because they had a water tower as part of the building and the building burned down. But this one was a much better designed building. It was solidly built on steel and timber frame, sitting on piles driven down to bedrock. Now, although the earlier pavilion was not intended to be used in winter, this one, I think they did intend that. It was heavily insulated. And although initially they didn't put in steam heating, they had made provision for it. So it was intended to be year-round use. The Parks Pavilion was proud of themselves. They thought they had now built a building that would last a century. Well, we're at its 92nd birthday this year. So if all goes well, yes, it will indeed last a century.
Fantastic. And it's such a gorgeous building.
You know, indeed, it's one of the most visually distinctive buildings in Winnipeg, I think. You know, it's been renovated a few times, once in 1997, when extensive renovations turned the main floor into a fancy restaurant and the upper level to an art gallery. Further renovations were made in 2016. Unfortunately, that restaurant has closed, and the pavilion is used today mostly for private functions and for office space for park staff. But a restaurant still operates in Winnipeg's other park pavilion.
Oh, where's that?
Well, Winnipeg's other large park is, of course, Kildonan Park in the North End. And its first pavilion was built there in 1915, a few years after the one in Assiniboine Park. It was much less grand than its Assiniboine cousin, probably because it was built in the early days of the First World War. They simply didn't have the resources to put a lot into it, but it survived a lot longer.
So tell me what happened to this pavilion.
By the early 1960s, the Kildonan Park Pavilion was showing its age. You know, it had been flooded a few times. So in 1964, the Winnipeg Parks Board hired a firm that was the predecessor of today's number 10 architecture. It's a pretty noted firm to design a replacement. It was to be a fully winterized structure situated on the banks of Lord Selkirk Creek. It's, you know, it's a small creek that flows into Red River, and they impounded it to create an ornamental pond for the summertime. And of course, after it froze over in the winter, it became a skating rink. It was opened in August of 1965, this pavilion, a two-story concrete structure. The lower level, which is only visible from the north, was intended to be used by skaters and tobogganers during the winter. The upper level featured a restaurant and a coffee shop with a combined capacity of 120 people. By 1970, the building was renamed. Of course, originally it was the Kildonan Park Pavilion. It was renamed the Peguis Pavilion in recognition of Chief Peguis, a statue of whom stands nearby. I visited it on a sunny day a couple of weeks ago, and that pavilion was very busy.
So I'm almost scared to ask, where does abandonment come into this story?
It comes from our third and final pavilion. It's not technically abandoned, I want to make clear. But it is what I would describe as not having lived up to its full potential. It does, though, have a pedigree that I think is just as impressive as the other two.
Okay, so you got to tell us, where's the third pavilion?
It is in the International Peace Garden. It was built in the mid-1960s as part of the Canadian Centennial Celebrations in 1967. Each province was allocated funds by the federal government with the intention of building a structure for cultural purposes in the capital city of each province. Well, instead of building just one structure, Manitoba opted to use its money to build three structures. And of course, the pavilion in the Peace Garden was one of them. The other two were the Centennial Concert Hall here in Winnipeg and the Centennial Auditorium in Brandon. And I think, therefore, because it's one of these three, you know, iconic buildings that date to the Centennial of Canada, I think that makes it pretty significant. Incidentally, when it was opened in 1967, rather than being called the Centennial Pavilion, as it was originally intended to be, it was instead named the Eric F. Willis Pavilion. And that was in commemoration of a former Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba who had died shortly before it was finished.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say I have never been to that pavilion. So can you tell me what it looks like?
Well, you'd be excused, Keisha, because, you know, to be honest, I hadn't visited it before either.
Okay, good. We're in good company.
But it is an impressive building. You know, it was designed by the same noted architectural firm as the Peguis Pavilion in Kildonan Park. And it has some of the same design elements. You know, you can kind of tell that it was as inspired by some of the same features. It is, too, a two-story structure, and it's built into the side of a small forested hill. The upper level is one large room that has these absolutely gorgeous grand floor-to-ceiling windows on all four sides, gives it a panoramic view of the surrounding area, including a nice little lake downhill. The lower level has a kitchen and washrooms, and the building can be used as a restaurant for fine dining.
Well, that sounds awesome to me. So, Gordon, why don't you think this building is living up to its full potential?
Well, as one of the three buildings constructed for Canada's centennial, the Willis Pavilion was envisioned as a high-profile venue for things like meetings, weddings, conventions, bus tours, and a host of other gatherings. Unfortunately, based on my survey of historical newspapers, it didn't turn out as planned. Now, I did find articles through the 1970s, 80s, and 90s of events being held there, you know, reunions and so on, but not nearly as many as its two centennial sisters, both of which, of course, serve large urban populations. Now, during the summer, of course, the Peace Garden does attract tourists, as well as students to its popular music camp, but I don't think this translates into much traffic to the pavilion. Now, I visited it in 2019, and it had the look of a place that is not used very much, you know, an impression that was confirmed by the locals who attended the presentation that I gave inside the pavilion. And I think it's not just the small size of the population the building serves. I think there's another major impediment to its greater use.
What's the issue? Tell us.
Well, as I headed home after my presentation in the Willis Pavilion, I had some explaining to do at Canadian Customs when I tried to drive back into Canada. I had forgotten to bring my passport. Now, as of 2009, visitors to the Peace Garden must carry a passport or maybe a few other specific documents, and essentially to prove their citizenship. I doubt that many organizers of meetings and other events that could be held in the pavilion are willing to insist that all their participants must bring a passport. You know, not everybody even has a passport. As a result, in my view, the Willis Pavilion will continue to be a beautiful, but unfortunately, underutilized gem.
Ugh, that's kind of sad. But how about this? Let's look to brighter times later. What's up next time?
Well, listeners may know that I've written two books based on this series. I'm preparing to write a third and probably final volume of Abandoned Manitoba, and I'm presently doing research for it. If all goes well, I'll be spending a day or two next week at the National Archives in Ottawa. If so, I'll talk about my experiences there next Sunday morning.
Looking forward to it, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.